It Happened One Night was a 1934 movie starring Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert. In 1939, Lux Radio Theater picked it up and did an hour-long version of it, and that script is essentially what we will be using tonight. We're coming to you live from the Playhouse of the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, and via the magic of radio, we'll also take you to the film capital of the world. From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents the 9XM Players in It Happened One Night. Lux presents Hollywood, our play, It Happened One Night. Told to the tune of a roaring bus motor, it's the fast-moving story of a runaway society girl and the reporter who helped her run. Our guest is a real-life cross-country bus driver, Mr. Harold Burnham. The music of the Lux Radio Theater is performed by the Cat Trio. This program comes to you with the good wishes of the makers of Lux Flakes, the world's largest-selling packaged soap for fine fabrics. Lux is safe, safe for everything, safe in water alone. And it's thrifty. About a penny's worth of Lux, unless the water's hard, does under things three times, or stockings four times, or both a sweater and a dress. In hard water, a little extra Lux gives you wonderful rich suds. Yes, a little goes so far. Lux is thrifty. Keep the generous large-size box of Lux Flakes in the bathroom, laundry, and kitchen, too. Give your things the care they deserve, and help your hands stay nice-looking. You'll do that, won't you? And now, our host and producer, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. It happened one night that a husky son was born to Mr. and Mrs. William Gable of Cadiz, Ohio. When the boy grew older, it happened one night that a friend who was an actor invited him backstage to witness a performance of the local stock company. The young man was allowed to peer through a peephole in the curtain, saw a vast bank of upturned expectant faces, and discovered that it thrilled him, lured him as irresistibly as fate itself. Then came a swift and amazing series of ups and downs until at last it happened one night in Hollywood that Clark Gable tossed a coin to decide whether he should continue to fight for a chance in the movies or head for home. The coin fell heads up, and he remained to become one of the most popular stars the screen has ever known. It happened one noon that a pretty young girl was crossing the Paramount lot on her way to lunch, when a producer stopped her and asked her how she'd like to play the part of the wickedest woman in the world. Without a second's hesitation, she answered, "I'd love it." I was the producer. Claudette Colbert was the girl, and the picture was the sign of the cross, in which Miss Colbert appeared as Poppaea, the queen who invented the milk bath for beauty. Soon afterward, Frank Capra borrowed Claudette for the leading role in what became one of the great romantic comedies of the screen. And that, roughly, is how it happens tonight that we're presenting It Happened One Night. Our stars are Christopher Simmons as Peter Warne and Liz Angle as Ellie Andrews. And now, here on the Playhouse stage of Overture Center, the cross-country motor bus stands waiting. The oil is checked, the tank is full, and we're ready to start. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it happened one night. A bus terminal in Miami, Florida. Passengers are milling about the ticket office, crowding around the newsstand, fighting for places at the lunch counter. In a telephone booth at the far end of the station, Peter Warne, a news reporter, has just put through a long-distance call to his paper.
Hello, is this the New York Globe?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Peter Warne talking. I want to speak to Harry Gordon right away.
Who?
Gordon, the managing editor.
Oh, one moment, please.
Fire me, huh? I'll show him, that big baboon.
Hello.
Hello, Gordon.
Yeah.
This is Peter Warne.
Well, what of it?
Say, what's all this about my being fired?
You got my wire, didn't you?
Sure, but...
Well, it goes. You're through.
What for?
You know what for. Go on home and sleep it off.
What? Listen here, monkey face. I'm the best news hound your filthy scandal sheet ever had.
Don't make me laugh. What were you doing last
night?
That's
none of... I sent you my copy.
Sure. All about the bathing beauties on Miami Beach. It was lovely. Did you know that Ellie Andrews disappeared last night from her father's yacht?
What?
Ellie Andrews. She disappeared. Did you know that?
No.
Well, that's why you're fired.
Wait a minute. Hello? Hello?
What's waiting for?
Palm Beach, Savannah, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, New York.
Here, get your newspaper, read all about it. Wealthy heiress runs away. Here, read all about it.
Hey, boy.
Yes, sir? You want a paper?
What's the headline?
Oh, that. That's about a society girl. Her name's Ellie Andrews, and she just ran away from her old man's yacht.
Ellie Andrews? The banker's daughter, huh?
Yeah. Want a paper, mister?
What'd she run away for?
I don't know. You see, she wants to marry some aviator guy, and her old man don't want her to, see? So she runs away. Then the old man, he... Hey, why don't you buy a paper? You can read the whole thing for 3 cents.
Who, me? I never read the newspaper.
Well, for crying out...
Hey, here's a dime. Go buy yourself an automobile.
Okay, thanks, mister.
Yeah, wait a minute. Where do I get the bus to New York?
Right outside the terminal.
Thanks.
Hey, yo, get your paper here. Read all about it.
Hey, driver, this bus go to New York?
There's a sign on the front. Can't you read?
Sorry, I never got past the fourth grade. Where do I sit?
That'll worry me any.
Okay, if you'd be good enough to move this pile of newspapers, I'll take this seat here.
Move them yourself.
Fine.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you think you're doing?
Huh?
The papers. What's the idea of throwing them out?
Oh, the papers. You know, it's a long story, my friend. I never did like the idea of sitting on newspapers. I did it once and all the headlines came off on my white trousers.
Why, you?
That's on the level. This actually happened. Nobody bought a paper that day. They just followed me around and read the news off the seat of my pants.
Ha, fresh guy, huh? Well, you needs a good sock in the nose.
Hey, listen, partner. You may not like my nose, but I do. I always wear it on the out, in the open, where if anybody wants to take a good sock at it, they can go right ahead and do it.
Oh, yeah?
Now that is a brilliant answer. Why didn't I think of it? This conversation could have been over a long time ago.
Oh, yeah?
If you keep that up, we're not going to get anywhere.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, you got me.
Pardon me, I want to get by.
Yeah, come on through. This is liable to last all night.
Oh, don't mind me. Thank you.
Hey, you can't sit there. That's my seat.
I beg your pardon.
Listen, I'm putting up a stiff battle for that seat. So if it's just the same to you, scram.
Driver, are these seats reserved?
Nah, first come, first served.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, driver. These seats accommodate 2 people, right?
Well, maybe they do, and maybe they don't.
Thanks. Move over, sister.
Ow!
This is, maybe they do.
Well.
There. You comfortable?
Oh, yes, very.
That's good. Because there's nothing like being comfortable when you've got 2,000 miles. Hey, haven't I seen you someplace before?
I'm afraid not.
That's funny. I think I have. You ever had your picture in the newspaper?
Never.
Not even on the society page? No, it's my mistake. I could have sworn I've seen you somewhere before.
Really? Well, perhaps it was at the livestock show in Chattanooga. I often go there with my old aunt from the country. We're simply mad about the merry-go-round.
Board!
Thank you.
Jacksonville, 30 minutes for breakfast, folks.
I'm terribly sorry.
That's all right. You get a good night's sleep?
Oh, fine, thank you. Well, everybody's going. Where are we?
Jacksonville. We just got in. We change buses here and we pull out in about a half an hour.
Oh. Now, it was foolish of me to fall asleep on your shoulder like that. Why didn't you push me away?
I hated to wake you up. You look kind of pretty asleep. How about some breakfast?
Oh, no. No, thank you. I never eat on a bus.
You mean you've never traveled on a bus?
I beg your pardon?
Let it go. But you ought to eat something. You got to watch out for your health, you know.
Oh, thank you. I can take care of myself. Excuse me, please. I'm getting out.
Sit down. I want to talk to you.
Oh, do you?
You'll never get away with it, Miss Andrews.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I said you'll never get away with it. Your father will stop you before you get halfway to New York.
You must have me confused with someone else.
Quit kidding. It's all over the front page. You know, I've always been curious to know what kind of a girl would want to marry a front-page aviator like King Wesley. Take my advice and get on the next bus back to Miami. That guy is a phony.
I didn't ask for your advice.
No, that's right, you didn't. I guess I'll just step out and send a telegram.
No, wait! You're not going to notify my father, are you?
What for?
Well, you could probably get some money out of him.
I never thought of that.
Well, now listen. If you promise not to do it, I'll pay you. I'll pay you as much as he will. You won't gain anything by giving me away as long as I'm willing to make it worth your while. And I will. Just as soon as we get to New York, I'll pay you.
Cut it.
What?
I said cut it. You know, I had you pegged right from the start. You're the spoiled brat of a rich father. The only way that you can get anything is to buy it. Now you're in a jam and all you can think of is money. It never fails,
but
does it?
I can give you lots
of... Yeah, you ever heard of the word humility? Nah, you wouldn't. I guess it never occurred to you to just say, please, mister, I'm in trouble. Could you help me? No, that'd bring you down off your high horse for a minute. Well, let me tell you something. Maybe this'll take a load off your mind. You don't have to worry about me. I'm not interested in your money or your problems. You, King Wesley, your father, you're all a lot of hooey to me. So long, Miss Andrews.
Sister, all alone? I'll keep your company.
I'm sorry, you can't sit here. The seat's taken.
My name's Shapley. Might as well get acquainted. It's going to be a long trip. It gets lonesome later on, especially for somebody like you. You look like you've got class. Yes, sir, with a capital K. And believe me, I'm the guy who knows class when he sees it, believe you me. Ask any of the boys, they'll tell you. Shapley sure knows how to pick 'em. Yes, sir, Shapley's my name, and Shapley's the way I like 'em. Say, what's the matter, sister? You ain't saying much.
It seems to me you're doing excellently without my assistance.
That's pretty good. It seems to me you're doing excellently without my assistance. Well, shut my big nasty mouth. Looks like you're one up on me. Now say, look, you know there's nothing I like better in this entire world than to meet a high-class mama who can snap them back at you. Yes, sir, you're just my type. Believe you me, sister, I could go for you in a big way. Fun on the side, Shapely is what they call me, and the accent's on the fun, believe you me.
Believe you me, you bore me to distraction.
Huh? Looks like you're two up on me now.
Hey, you.
Huh?
There's a seat over there for you.
What's the idea?
I'd like to sit next to my wife, if you don't mind.
Your wife?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah, sure. See, I was just trying to make her comfortable, make things pleasant for her. I didn't know she was your wife, you know what I mean, Doc. Okay.
If you promise not to snap my head off, I'd like to thank you.
Forget it. I didn't do it for you. His voice was getting on my nerves. Hey, your clothes are soaking wet. Did you get caught in that shower back at the last stop?
Yes, and it was a cool shower, too.
You want to take my coat and put it around
you? Oh, no, no, no.
Come on, go ahead. You're as helpless as a baby.
Thank you.
How'd you happen to get caught up in that anyhow?
Well, those things happen, don't they? I just ran into the terminal to buy a box of candy and...
Candy? Are you crazy?
What do you mean?
Let me see your purse.
Oh, please, now give me my purse.
Yeah, just as I thought. $1.60. How do you expect to get to New York if you waste all your money on candy?
That's none of your business.
You're on a budget from now on. Here's your purse. I'll take your money.
Now, just a minute. Just...
Shut up. From now on, I'm the boss. This isn't a regular stop. What is he doing?
Sorry, folks. Looks like we're going to have to stop here for a couple of minutes. Yeah, you can get out and stretch your legs.
Driver, what's the matter?
There's a sign up there that says that the bridge to Dawson's been washed out, so we're going to have to put up here for tonight.
But where are we?
Dyke's Auto Camp. They got cabins here.
There's no chance of getting through.
Not tonight.
That's enough for me. Come on, Brat.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. We're stopping here for the night. Come on, let's go.
Now, here's your cabin, Mr. Warren.
This one here?
Why, yes, sir.
Come on, kid, this is it.
Oh, I'm dripping.
Well, good night. I hope you and your husband rest comfortably, Mrs. Warren.
Mrs. Warren? Yes, thank you.
Well, go on in. What are you going to do, stay out here in the rain all night?
Mm-hmm. Darn clever, these Armenians.
Yeah. It's a gift.
I just had the unpleasant sensation of hearing you referred to as my husband.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. I registered us as Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, you did? You know, compared to you, my friend Shapley is an amateur. Just whatever gave you the idea that I'd stand for this?
Hold on. Let's get this straightened out right now. If you're nursing any silly notion that I'm interested in you, forget it. You're just a headline to me.
A headline? You're not a newspaper man, are you?
Chalk one up on your side.
Oh.
Now listen, you want to get to your fiancé, King Wesley, in New York, don't you? All right. Well, I am here to help you. What I want is your story. Exclusive. A day-to-day account. All about your mad flight to happiness. I need that story. Just between you and me, I gotta have it.
Isn't that just too cute? There's a brain behind that face of yours, isn't there? You've got everything nicely figured out, even including this.
Oh, you mean this Mr. and Mrs. business? No. That's just a simple matter of mathematics. You see, these cabins, they cost $2 a night. And I'm sorry to inform you, wifey, but the family purse won't stand for us having separate accommodations. You understand?
Yes, I guess so.
Smart girl. And now we come to the problem of retiring for the night. Which of these beds... do you prefer? That one? Go ahead, take it.
Thanks. Now that the popularity contest is over, what happens next?
Simple. Give me this clothesline over here. Thanks. Now, we're going to tie this up to this hook here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty knot, don't you think?
About average.
The other end goes on that hook, and then we make a clothesline extending from wall A to wall B and passing exactly between beds X and Y. Then we take the blanket, G, and place it over the clothesline, AB, so that you in bed X will not be troubled with the disturbing sight of me in bed Y. You follow?
Well, I suppose that makes everything all right.
I hope it does, because I like privacy when I retire. Hence, the walls of Jericho. Maybe not as thick as the ones that Joshua blew down with his trumpet, but it's a lot safer. You see, I have no trumpet.
Well, now that is a relief.
Hey, and to show you my heart's in the right place, I'm going to give you my best pair of pajamas.
Thanks.
Now, would you mind joining the Israelites on the other side of the wall?
I think that would be better. Excuse me.
Yeah. That's the stuff, Brat. Yeah. Don't be worried. The walls of Jericho will protect you.
Hmm. Would you mind putting out that light?
Not at all. Turning in?
Mm-hmm.
Say, would you mind taking those things of yours off the walls of Jericho?
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that?
Much better. Hmm. It's nice, isn't it? Lying here, just listening to the rain.
Hmm. By the way, what's your name?
What's that?
Who are you?
Me? Well, I'm the whippoorwill that cries in the night. I'm the soft, soft morning breeze caressing your lovely face. I'm the...
You've got a name, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a name. Peter Warren.
Peter Warren. I don't like it.
Well, don't let it bother you. You're giving it back to me in the morning.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Warren.
The pleasure's all mine, Mrs. Warren.
Good night.
Good night.
In a moment, you'll hear Act Two of It Happened One Night, starring the 9XM players. During our brief intermission, we bring you our favorite family, the Brownings. It's late at night, and the girls have come home from a date. They're getting ready for bed, I hope.
Gee, it was fun tonight, wasn't it, Midge?
I'll say. You know, Dot, I always sort of envy you when I see you with a crowd of people.
Why? What do you mean, Midgey?
Oh, it's just like you always look so pretty and fresh, and people sort of flock towards you, like you were a magnet or something. They never do that with me.
Oh, Midge, you just imagine it.
Well, I'm too sleepy to talk about it now. You about ready for bed?
Not quite. I've got to lux my undies first. Not on your life. Aren't you going to do yours?
Oh, no, I'm too tired.
Oh, but Midge, you must.
What difference does it make?
It's so much nicer putting on fresh things in the morning.
Well, just this once won't matter.
But Midge, dear, you're always saying that. See here, honey, you say you want heaps of friends and parties and fun.
Yes, I do.
Well, believe me, daintiness has a lot to do with that. Here, give me your undies now. I'll lux them with mine.
Oh, Dot, you angel. I'll do yours with mine both tomorrow. I promise I will.
Oh, girls, it takes only a few minutes to lux your things after every wearing. A quick dip in Lux Suds removes every trace of perspiration and leaves things fresh and lovely looking. There's no harmful alkali, absolutely nothing in Lux to fade colors or hurt fabrics. You can use it safely for anything safe in water alone. So get the generous, large-size box of Lux Flakes and Lux Underthings and Stockings after every wearing. Your dresses, sweaters, and blouses often. This dainty habit means so much to your happiness. It helps you stay sweet and lovable. A woman everyone admires. And now, here's Mr. DeMille.
And now we return to the 9XM players' It Happened One Night. It's early the following morning. In the tourist cabin, Peter is setting the table for breakfast as Ellie returns from the showers.
Hello.
Good morning, wifey.
It's
about time you got back.
Oh, I met some very interesting women at the showers. We got to chatting about this and that. You know how time flies.
Okay, come on, come on, come on. Sit down. Got breakfast already.
Oh, how nice. Scrambled eggs.
Egg. One egg, one donut, black coffee. That's your ration until lunch. Any complaints?
Nope, no complaints.
Hey, that's nice for a change. Donut?
Thanks. You think this whole business is silly, don't you? I mean, running away and everything.
No, no, it's too good of a story.
Yes, you do. You think I'm a fool and a spoiled brat. Well, perhaps I am. Although I don't see how I can be. People who are spoiled are accustomed to having their own way. I never have. I've always been told what to do and how to do it and where and with whom. Nurses, governesses, chaperones, even bodyguards. Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
One consolation, you can never be lonely.
I had had its moments. It got to be sort of a game to try and outwit Father's detectives. I did, once. Actually went shopping without a bodyguard. It was swell. I felt absolutely immoral. But it didn't last long. They caught up with me in the department store. I was so mad that I ran out the back way and jumped in the first car I saw. Guess who was in it?
Santa Claus?
King Wesley.
Is that how you met him?
Mm-hmm. We rode around all afternoon. Father was frantic. By 6 o'clock, he was having the rivers dragged.
Yeah, I can see it. Say, where'd you learn to dunk? In finishing school?
Oh, now don't start telling me I shouldn't dunk.
Of course you shouldn't. You don't know how to do it. Dunking is an art. See, you don't let it soak so long. It's a quick dip and plop right in your mouth. If you let it soak so long, it goes soft. It's going to fall apart. It's all a matter of timing. I really ought to write a book about it.
Thanks, Professor.
Just goes to show you. 20 millions and you can't even dunk.
Well, now, what does the meaning of all this?
You know, I change places with a plumber's daughter any day.
Shh!
What's the matter?
Shut up. Someone's outside.
Well, now, just a minute now. Well, how do I know who you are? I never saw you before. Can't go around bothering my tenants. Besides, how do I know you're a detective?
Here's my credentials, ma'am.
Detectives?
Oh, that's my father at work. Peter, what'll I do? Maybe I can jump out the window. They wouldn't see me.
Shh, come here, come here. Get yourself all messed up. Put your hair down, over your face. Yes, I got a letter from Aunt Bella last week. She says that if we don't stop over at Wilkes-Barre, she'll never forgive us.
What are you talking about?
What's the difference? Just say something.
Oh, I see.
I guess I'll just have to write to Aunt Bella today.
Yes, I would if I was you. Letters are always so cheering to invalids.
Yes, and she's struck down with that hay fever again.
You don't say.
Excuse me.
Oh, look, a man, darling.
I want to see you, miss. What's your name?
Are you addressing me?
Yeah, what's your name?
Hey, wait a minute. That's my wife you're talking to. What do you want, anyway?
We're looking for somebody.
Yeah, well, look your head off. Only don't come busting in here. This ain't a public park. I got a good notion to take a sock at you.
Now, take it easy, son. Take it easy.
Oh, they're detectives, Mr. Warren.
I don't care if they're the whole police department. They just can't come busting in here and shooting questions at my wife.
Now, don't get excited, Peter. They just asked a civil question.
Oh, is that so? How many times do I have to tell you to stop butting in when I'm having an argument?
Oh, you don't have to lose your temper.
Now, just a minute,
folks. Oh, you don't have to lose your temper. That's what you said the other time. Every time I'm trying to protect you.
Oh, now keep quiet.
I will not keep quiet.
Now listen, you two.
You're just like your old man. Once a plumber's daughter, always a plumber's daughter. There ain't an ounce of brains in your whole family.
Oh, Peter Warren, you've gone far enough. I won't stand here and be insulted like this.
Oh, shut up.
No, I won't.
Now, to see what you've done, you've disturbed my guests.
Yeah, what do you mean by it anyway?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Warren, but you see, we got to check up on everyone. We're looking for that girl by the name of Ellen Andrews. Daughter of the Wall Street King.
Yeah, well, it's too bad you're not looking for the daughter of a plumber.
quit bawling. Quit your bawling.
I'm sorry, folks. My mistake.
Well, now, didn't I tell you there was a nice married couple?
Oh, how was that supposed to know?
Are they gone?
Yeah, they're gone.
quit your bawling!
The bus leaves in 5 minutes!
Oh, you're so loud, you're driving me crazy!
Oh, the bus leaves in 5 minutes! Holy smacks, we haven't even packed yet!
Board!
Peter!
Ah!
Peter, wake up!
What do you want? I'm trying to get some sleep.
Shapley's back with us. Did you know that?
Sure, what about it?
Look at him! He's got one of those newspapers with my picture in it. Oh, Peter, I'm afraid!
What are you afraid of? Haven't you still got me with you? Where did Shapley get that paper?
We stopped a few miles back while you were sleeping. He must have got it there.
Well, it's too late to do anything now.
He's looking at me again! Oh, Peter, do you think he recognizes me?
We'll find out soon enough. He couldn't keep a thing like that quiet if he cut his tongue out. Now, just sit tight and let's see what happens.
But what do we do?
Wait till the next stop? I'll get him into a conversation outside and see if he suspects anything. Well, we'll just have to see.
Okay, folks, rest stop here, 15 minutes.
Hello, Mr. Shapley.
Hello. Nice to get out and stretch your legs, ain't it?
Well, it sure is. I see you got a paper there.
That's right. Maybe you'd like to take a look at it.
Yeah, I don't mind if I do.
Hold it here in the headlights, and you can read it while you're waiting.
Hmm.
You know, traveling like this, you sort of lose track of what's going on in the world. Like, take that story there, for instance, about that Ellie Andrews. If I was to see that dame, you know what I'd do?
No. What?
I'd go 50-50 with you.
Why?
Well, because I don't believe in hogging it all, see? A bird that figures that way always ends up behind the eight ball, is what I always say.
What's on your mind?
5 G's or I crab the works.
5 G's, huh?
You heard me.
Yeah. You know, it's a lucky thing my running into you. You're just the man I need.
You made no mistake, believe you me.
You pack a gat?
Huh?
Gat. A gat. A rod. You got any fireworks on you?
Why, no. Why would I want to...
It's all right anyway. I got a couple machine guns in my suitcase. I'll let you have one of them. We may have a little trouble up north. May have to shoot it out with the cops a little bit.
What?
But if you come through all right, those 5 G's are as good as in the bag.
Yeah, but the cops...
Of course, I'll have to talk to the killer, you know. Talk to him about taking care of you.
The killer?
Yeah, the big boy. The boss of the outfit.
Say, you're not kidnapping her, are you?
What else, stupid? You don't think we're after that Penny Ante reward, do you? $10,000? That's chicken feet.
Yeah, well, you know, pardon me, mister. I guess I don't want the money after all.
Hey, listen. You're in on this thing and you're staying in it. You know too much.
Yeah, but, you know, I won't say anything. Honest, I won't.
How do I know that?
Well,
I got a good notion to plug you right now.
No. You can trust me, mister. I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't talk. I won't say anything. My wife, my kids.
What's your name?
My name? It's Oscar Shapley.
And where do you live?
Orange, New Jersey.
Got a couple of kids, huh?
Yeah, yes, sir. They're just babies. A little golden-haired girl, and she got...
You ever heard of Bugs Dooley?
Bugs Dooley?
Yeah, he was a nice guy, just like you. But he made a mistake one day. You see, he got a little too talkative.
Yeah.
You want to know what happened to his kids?
No.
Well, I can't tell you. But when Bugs heard about it, he blew his brains out.
Oh, gee, that's terrible.
Yeah, now beat it.
Oh, thanks, mister. Can I go back now?
To the bus?
Oh,
what, do you think I am, crazy? You'll walk in, see?
Oh, yes, sir.
Come on, scram.
Sure. Anything you say, mister. You ain't gonna shoot me in the back.
If you don't beat it, I just might.
I'll go.
Come on, get going.
All right, folks, all aboard.
Hey, wait a minute, driver.
Come on, get in.
Never mind, we're getting off here, me and the young lady.
What's that?
Come on, Brat.
What's the matter?
Don't ask so many questions. Give me your hand.
Got your suitcase?
Well, now that we're in the middle of a country road in the dead of night, maybe you'll let me in on the big secret. What's the idea?
The idea? We're gonna take a little walk, Brat. Mr. Shapley may shoot off his mouth after all.
Well, where are we gonna walk to?
The next town, wherever that is. Come on, pick him up and lay him down. We got a long way to go.
Oh, how long does this cross-country hike keep up? My feet are killing me.
You can stop here if you want.
Here? Where are we?
Virginia.
Well, yes, I know. But where?
I can't say for sure right now, but from the looks of that hayrick, I guess we're on someone's farm.
Where's the farmhouse?
What difference does that make?
You don't mean we're... Now, you don't mean that we're going to sleep out here in the open, do you?
I don't know about you, but I'm going to give a fairly good imitation of it.
Peter?
What?
I'm awfully hungry.
Nah, that's just your imagination.
No, it isn't. I'm hungry and scared.
You can't be hungry and scared at the same time.
Well, I am.
Well, if you're scared, it scares the hunger out of you.
Not if you're more hungry than scared.
All right, you win. Now, let's just forget it.
I can't, I'm hungry.
Holy smokes! How did I ever get mixed up with you? If I had any sense, I'd be in New York by this time.
What about your big story?
Taking a dame back to her fiancé. I turned out to be a prize sucker, all right. Well, here you go. Your bed's all ready.
You mean I'm supposed to sleep on that hay?
That's the idea.
Oh, it's all crackly.
Shut up and go to sleep. I'm sick and tired of listening to a lot of complaints.
Oh, you know, you're becoming awfully disagreeable lately. You just snap my head off every time I open my mouth. If being with me is so distasteful to you, you can leave. You can leave anytime you see fit. Nobody's holding you here. I can get along. I can get along very nicely without you. Peter, are you listening? I said I can get along very not... Oh, Peter! Peter? Peter, where are you? Peter? Peter! Peter, where are you?
Oh. What's the matter?
I was so worried.
I got into you. I was only gone for a minute. I went to try and find you something to eat.
I know, but...
Oh. Well, here's a watermelon. I swiped it from the next field.
I don't want it now.
You said you were hungry.
I was, but...
But what?
But I was so scared it scared the hunger right out of me.
Holy jumping catfish, you would drive a guy crazy.
Well, I guess... Oh, so disgusting. You're just gonna give it to her.
I don't know before. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess. I was only going to say, I guess you were right.
You're darn tootin', I'm right. Now go to sleep, and let's just forget about everything.
Yes, Peter. Peter?
What?
What are you thinking about?
By strange coincidence, I was thinking about you.
Really?
Yeah. I was wondering what makes dames like you so dizzy.
Oh.
what a morning. Look at the sun. Look at those fields.
Look at my shoes. The dirt road is certainly hard on leather. Ugh. By the way, what did you say that we're supposed to be doing?
Hitchhiking?
Oh, well, you've given me a very good example of the hiking. Where does the hitching come in?
Well, it's a little early yet. There's no cars out.
Well, if it's the same to you, I'm going to sit down right here and wait till they come.
Suit yourself.
Oh, I intend to. Now, Peter, suppose nobody stops for us.
Oh, they'll stop, all right. It's all a matter of knowing how to hail them.
You're an expert, I suppose.
I'm going to write a book about it. I'm going to call it, The Hitchhiker's Hail. Oh,
there's no end to your accomplishments, is there?
Yeah, you think this is so simple, huh?
Oh, no, no, no.
Actually, it is. You see, it's all in the old thumb. You see, some people do it like this, you know, kind of do like a half wave, and then, you know, they point their thumb down, kind of drooping across the palm. It's all wrong. Too indefinite. That's never going to get you any place.
Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this old thumb never fails. Now, you take the number one, for instance, elbow close to the side, thumb rigid and parallel to the right shoulder, then a short jerky movement, just the hand and the wrist. Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
That shows independence. Mm. You don't care whether they stop or not. You got money in your pocket, see?
Clever.
Yeah. Now, moving on to number two. Mm. That's a little wider movement from the elbow. The thumb describing a graceful arc from shoulder to waistline. A smile goes with it. It's like this.
Oh.
You know, kind of means you got a brand new story to tell.
Uh-huh. And you figured that all out by yourself, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's nothing. See, number three, that's the pit. That's the really, really pitiful one. You know, when you're broke and you're hungry and everything looks black.
Is that so?
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like shoulders saggy, your mouth down, your chin drooping. It's a long, sweeping movement to the whole arm. Kind of like this.
Oh! Wow.
Yeah, it's good, right? But you gotta follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's no good if you haven't got that long face to go with it.
It's amazing.
Okay. All right, well, here comes the first car. Okay, now I want you to watch me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna use the number one.
Uh-huh.
Now, you keep your eye on that thumb, baby. Mm-hmm. And watch what happens.
Mm-hmm. I still got my eye on that thumb.
Something must have gone wrong. Let me try the number two this time. I think that's going to really do it this way. Hey, you!
Maybe he doesn't appreciate genius.
Well, let's try this, baby. Maybe the number two doesn't work in the South. All right. Going up, mister. I guess I'll try the number three on the next one.
Mm. When you get to 100, wake me, will you?
I don't think I'm going to write that book after all.
Now think of all the fun you've had. Do you mind if I try the next one?
You... Don't make me laugh.
Oh, you're such a smart aleck. Nobody knows anything but you. Look, I'll stop this car and I won't even use my thumb.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
It's a system, all my own. Left hand gracefully on left hip, head back, inclined gently in the direction of travel, eyes twinkling. It's the twinkle that does it. Oh, step aside, please. Oh, yeah!
Hiya, sister. Going my way?
Yes, thank you very much.
My name, I'll hop right in. My name's Baker.
Oh, so sweet of you, Mr. Baker. Would you mind if this gentleman came with us, too?
Who? Him?
Yeah, me.
Well, I don't like the looks of him any.
Oh, that's all right. He's my uncle. He can't help looking like that. He used to be a newspaper man.
Oh, well, all right. Hop in the back.
Thanks.
As I was saying, it's a system all my own.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll write a book, too. Let's see, called The Feminine Touch, or Go Thither with a Come Hither.
Oh, shut up.
Cabin for a week, huh?
That's right.
For you and your wife?
That's right.
That'll be $875.
Sold. Which one?
Take number four and pay in advance.
Now, listen, ma'am, I don't want to talk business right now. I'm tired and I'll settle up with you in the morning.
Well, all right. Good night.
Good night. Come on, Brad.
What do you tell her in the morning?
I don't know, think of something. Well, let's have that blanket.
Well, here it is.
If I build these walls of Jericho one more time, I'm going to qualify as an engineer.
Oh, I'm glad that we get to lie down for a change.
Yeah, me too. Well, we are on our last lap. Tomorrow morning, if all goes well, you will be in the arms of your fiancé. A bum.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have a great story, won't you?
Yeah, swell.
Thanks.
You certainly outsmarted your father. I guess you ought to be happy.
Am I going to see you in New York?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't make it a policy to run around with married women.
Oh, there's no harm in coming to see us.
Not interested.
Won't I ever see you again?
What do you want to see me for? I served my purpose. I brought you back to King Wesley, didn't I? That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Peter, have you ever been in love?
Me?
Yes. Have you ever thought about it at all? It seems to me that you could make some girl wonderfully happy.
I don't know. Sure, I thought about it. I mean, yeah, who hasn't? If I could ever meet the right sort of girl, where am I going to find her? Someone that's real? Someone that's alive? They don't come that way anymore. You know, I saw an island in the Pacific once. I've never, ever been able to forget it. That's where I'd like to take her. She'd have to be the sort of girl who'd jump in the surf with me and love it just as much as I did. You know, nights when you and the moon and the water all become one. And you feel like you're a part of something big, really, really marvelous. Those are the only places to live, where the stars are so close over your head that you feel you could reach up and stir them around. Sure, I've been thinking about it. Boy, if I could only find the girl who was hungry for those things.
Oh, Peter. Take me with you, Peter. Oh, please, take me to your island. I want to do all those things you talked about.
You? You're crazy.
No, I'm not. I love you, Peter. Nothing else matters. We can run away. Everything will take care of itself. Please, Peter. I can't let you out of my life now. I couldn't live without you.
Ellie, you better go over there and go to sleep.
Oh. Oh. I'm sorry.
Ellie, wait a minute.
No. Good night, Mr. Warren.
Did you really mean that? About the island? Would you really want to go?
Certainly not. You think I'm crazy?
Yeah, I guess I did for a second.
Did you see my husband?
Husband? Well, he's gone.
Gone?
Yes, ma'am. Left about an hour ago.
Did he say where?
Not a word, but I heard him calling long distance. He spoke to a Mr. Gordon at the New York Loeb office, said he had a great story and was going right to New York to see him.
I see. Where's the telephone, please?
Well, I don't think your husband will be there yet, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, stop calling me Mrs. Warren. I'm not Mrs. Warren. I never will be Mrs. Warren. My name is Andrews. Ellie Andrews.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Now, where's that phone?
Over there, right over there.
Thank you.
Ooh, me? Ow. Think it was my fault or something. My name ain't Mrs. Well, my name is Andrews. Ellie Andrews. Ellie? Ellie Andrews? Ellie? Oh, Pa! Pa! Come here quick, Pa!
I want to call New York, please. Yes, person to person. Mr. King Wesley. Wesley. W-E-S-T-L-E-Y.
We pause now for station identification. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The curtain falls on Act Two of It Happened One Night. Mr. DeMille introduces our guest for the evening in a moment. But first, the Brownings are getting ready to go to their cabin in the woods.
Come on, girls, help me finish my list.
What list, Mother?
Things we've got to get on our way through the village before we reach the cabin.
Okay, let's see what you've written down. Oh, I see something you've missed. Matches.
Oh, please, Mother. Putting marshmallows on the list, too.
Well, Midge, we can't toast marshmallows right away. We'll have a lot of cleaning up to do. Dishes to wash, everything will be dusty.
And... oh, dear. A big dishwashing job.
That means Lux. Is it on the list?
Yes, it won't take long with Lux.
Gosh, wouldn't it be awful to be stuck at the cabin with no Lux?
And have to fool around with pokey cake soap.
Or ruin our hands with wash day soap.
Then you wouldn't have those rose petal hands Archie Smith raves about, would you, Doc?
I don't mean that at all. Anyhow, you know perfectly well that Lux is the nicest way to do dishes, isn't it, Mother?
Of course it is, dear. I want you girls to have nice hands. So don't worry. There'll always be plenty of Lux in the house.
Wise Mother Browning. People notice red, rough hands right away. They certainly rob a woman of charm. That's why it's so important to wash dishes with Lux. There's an amazing difference between Lux and harsh wash day soaps. Your hands feel it when you touch those soft Lux suds. And your hands show it, too. They soon look so much softer and prettier. Did you ever realize this? Lux flakes are as gentle as the finest toilet soap. They haven't any of those alkaline suds builders that sting and irritate your skin. And yet, Lux for dishes costs almost nothing. Why, a lot of women find that just one big box will do their dishes for about 60 meals. So be sure to get the thrifty big box of Lux Flakes right away and use it for dishes every day. And now, here's Mr. DeMille with our bus-driving guest.
Since a cross-country bus carries so much of the action of tonight's play, we're bringing you a typical pilot of these streamlined stagecoaches. He's Harold Burnham of the Pacific Greyhound Lines. After driving buses for 13 years and over 1.5 miles without an accident, he's learned that he's required to do more than just get him there on time. He must be a diplomat, information bureau, nursemaid, counselor, and guardian. And at times, even a motion picture actor.
Yes, See, they used one of our buses in the picture. It happened one night. And they happened to pick me to drive in a few of the scenes. But I guess I'd sooner be a bus driver than an actor. You meet so many interesting people.
As interesting and romantic as the Ellie Andrews and Peter Warren of our play?
Well, I should say so. There's something about a bus that encourages romance. It even affects the hack hands themselves.
Hack hands?
Oh, that's our name for a driver. I'm one of the very few hack hands who didn't first meet his wife as a passenger. And there's a romantic angle about my favorite passenger. 5 years ago, on my regular run to Fresno, from Fresno to Los Angeles, a young couple met on my bus. And just a year later, they were back again, this time as husband and wife. They've been coming back every year on May the 15th to take the trip over again. Sentimental, but nice. I feel sort of responsible.
From a hack hand's viewpoint, Mr. Burnham, what constitutes an ideal bus trip?
A solid load with plenty of chinners. By chinners, I mean talkers. That is, we like a bus full of people who like to talk. That makes the trip go quicker, and the passengers enjoy themselves more.
Well, while you're at it in a translating mood, will you explain what those headlight signals are that you often exchange on the highway with other buses and trucks?
Well, if we want to warn a bus or a truck coming the other way, they're about to run into a bad piece of road, we flash them 3 times with a spotlight. 1, 2, 3. If there's a cop ahead who doesn't like us, we give 2 flashes. But I'm glad to say most cops and hack hands get along swell. And the same goes for reapers. Reapers are big trucks. The road hogs and the fruit haulers, or small trucks, that keeps our nerves on edge and our feet on the corks. Corks being our name for brakes.
What turned you into a bus driver, Mr. Burnham? And what's keeping you at it?
Well, it's pretty exciting, Mr. DeMille. I really mean that, because I quit the Army Air Corps to take my present job. There's something about it that gets in you. You're out in the open all the time, more or less on your own, and always on the move. And I guess I like people. Little kids traveling alone, strangers who need help, and even the lady who once come aboard with a stork and was presented with a fine baby boy right on the bus. Yes, sir, you got to be prepared for any emergency. But I guess I better put the corks on myself and let the people hear the rest of a swell play. It happened one night. Thanks a lot.
Drive on, Mr. Burnham, and good luck to you. Ladies and gentlemen, the 9XM players in Lux Radio Theaters, It Happened One Night. The thread of an accidental meeting which bound the lives of Ellie and Peter has become a tangled knot. Ellie is convinced that Peter walked out on her and has given him no chance to explain. It's a week later, the morning of Ellie's marriage to King Wesley. The bride-to-be sits alone in her room, staring mournfully at her reflection in the glass. Her father knocks at the door.
Ellie. Ellie.
Yes, Dad?
May I come in?
Come in. Hello, Dad.
I knocked several times.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have been daydreaming.
Well, everything's set for the wedding. Great stunt King is going to pull, creating quite a furor.
Stunt?
Yes. Landing on the lawn in an auto gyro.
Oh, yes, I heard.
Well, personally, I think it's silly, too. You look lovely, child. Are you pleased with the gown? Ellie?
The gown. Yes, it's nice, isn't it?
What's the matter, child? What's wrong?
Nothing.
You haven't changed your mind about King Wesley, have you?
No.
Because if you have, it isn't too late. You know how I feel about him. But you gave me such a scare when I couldn't find you. You know, the old pump isn't what it used to be.
I'm sorry, Father. I wouldn't hurt you for the world.
What's the matter, child? Aren't you happy?
No. Dad!
Oh, I thought so. I knew there was something on your mind. Ah, there now. What's the matter? You haven't fallen in love with someone else, have you? Have you? I haven't seen you cry since you were a baby. This must be serious. Where did you meet him?
On the road.
Now, don't tell me you've fallen in love with a bus driver.
No!
Well, who is he?
Why? I don't know very much about him, except that I love him.
Well, if it's as serious as all that, we'll move heaven and earth to...
No, no, it's no use. He despises me.
Oh, come now, come now.
Yes, he does. He despises everything about me. He thinks that I'm spoiled and selfish and pampered and thoroughly insincere.
Ridiculous.
He doesn't think much of you either.
Oh, no?
No. He blames you for everything that's wrong with me. He says that you raised me stupidly. Oh, he's marvelous.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
I don't know.
I'd like to have a talk with him.
Oh, no, Daddy. It wouldn't do any good. I practically threw myself at him.
Well, under the circumstances, don't you think we ought to call this wedding off?
No. No. I'll go through with it. What difference does it make? I'll never see Peter again!
Is that his name?
Yes. Peter.
Peter Warren?
Yes. Do you know him?
No, not exactly.
Oh, Father, you haven't heard from him, have you?
This letter came this morning addressed to me.
From Peter?
Yes.
Oh.
Here you are.
Dear sir, as your daughter has probably forgotten to tell you, there's a little financial matter connected with her safe return to your indulgent arms that I would appreciate your settling with me at your earliest convenience. Yours truly, Peter Warren. Oh, well, I guess that was his only interest in me, wasn't it? The reward, $10,000.
I'm sorry you read it.
Are you going to see him?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I sent word to him to come out here this afternoon. I suppose he'll show up soon.
Oh, of course he will. Well, pay him off. He's entitled to it. He did an excellent job. He kept me thoroughly entertained. It's worth every penny he gets.
Sit down, Mr. Warren.
Thanks.
I'm surprised to get your note. My daughter hadn't told me anything about you, about your helping her.
That's typical of your daughter. Taking all those things for granted.
I've discussed the matter with her since hearing from you, and she thinks you're entitled to anything you can get.
Oh, she does, huh? Isn't that sweet of her? Look, I've got it all itemized.
May I see the statement, please? Cash outlay, $8.60. Top coat, $15. Suitcase, $7.50. Hat, $4. Three shirts, $4.50, total $39.60. All of the above items had to be hawked to provide food and shelter.
Yeah, and I sold some shorts and socks, too, but I'm throwing those in.
Yes, I know, but...
What's the matter? Isn't it cheap enough? Trip like that would cost you $1,000, maybe more.
Now, let me get this straight. You want $39.60 in addition to the $10,000?
What $10,000?
Why, the reward.
Who said anything about a reward? All I want is my $39.60. Now, if you will give me a check for it, I will get out of this joint. It gives me the creeps.
You're a peculiar chap.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later.
The average man would go after the reward. All you seem to be interested in
Listen, didn't anybody ever make a sucker out of you? This is a matter of principle. Something you probably wouldn't understand. But when somebody takes me for a buggy ride, I don't like the idea of having to pay for the privilege.
Were you taken for a buggy
With
ride?
With all the trimmings.
My daughter seems to think she was on that ride, too. She thinks you walked out on her.
Listen, your daughter can think anything she wants. I went to New York to sell the story and raise a little dough so that I could get your daughter out to that tropical island. And what do I get?
What tropical island?
It's none of your business. When I get back to where she'd skipped. Now that's great, isn't it?
Now wait a minute.
Look, do I get my dough or not?
Certainly.
Thank you.
But I'd like to ask you one question. Do you love my daughter?
Any guy that would fall in love with your daughter ought to have his head examined.
That's an evasion. Do you love her?
A normal human being couldn't live under the same roof with her without going nutty. She's my idea of nothing.
I ask you a simple question. Do you love her?
Yes! But don't hold it against me. I'm a little screwy myself.
Well, well, well. Look who's here.
Hello. I was hoping I wouldn't have to run into you.
Really? Well, I hope you got your money.
You bet I did.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks and same to you.
Ellie, dear.
No, stay around and watch. The fun king is going to drop down out of the skies any minute now from his gyro. You'll enjoy it immensely.
I would, but I've got a weak stomach. Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Andrews.
Oof. Pleasant fellow, isn't he?
Ellie, dear, you shouldn't have talked to him like that. He's really a fine boy. We had quite a conversation.
I'm not interested.
Now, see here, Ellie.
I tell you, I'm not interested. I don't want to hear another word about him.
Now, Ellie, you should listen to your father, because I know about these things, and I know you don't want to hear everything I'm saying to you, but when it comes to affairs of the heart...
Oh, please. Oh, look.
Is it the gyro?
Yes. It's coming soon.
What on earth is that?
Oh.
Seems to be creating quite a lot of excitement among the guests.
Landed on the lawn in his gyro.
Oh. Well. Well, Ellie.
Come on, Dad. Let's go down and get it over with.
King is waiting at the altar. All right, Ellie, come on. Take my arm. Let's go. You know, Ellie, you're a sucker to go through with this. That guy, Warren, is okay.
Please, Dad.
He is. He didn't want the reward. All he asked for was $39.60 that he spent on you.
What?
Sure. He loves you, Ellie.
How do you know?
He told me so.
Oh, Daddy! Oh. Well, it's too late now.
Is it? You don't want to be married to a mug like Wesley. I can buy him off for a pot of gold. And you can make an old man happy. Pete Warren is a swell guy.
Please, please don't.
If you should change your mind, your car's waiting at the back gate. What do you say, Ellie? You've still got a few seconds.
Oh, Dad.
Is it Pete? Or is it this dumb cluck of an aviator?
It's Pete!
Hooray!
Oh, Daddy, kiss me quick. Goodbye!
Goodbye, Ellie! Go on!
Peter?
Uh-huh?
Where's the marriage certificate? I can't find it anywhere.
Don't worry, Brat. Safe and sound and inside my pocket.
I was getting scared again.
Oh, you afraid I was going to back out?
Oh, it's too late now, Mr. Ward. Oh, Peter, I'm so happy. Oh, where are we going for our honeymoon?
I've got it all picked out. A tourist cabin, somewhere just outside of Philadelphia.
A tourist cabin? Oh, Peter, that's grand!
Yeah, and you see that big bundle of stuff I bought in the last town?
Uh-huh, what's in it?
Oh, lots of things. A rope.
A rope.
And a green blanket.
The walls of Jericho.
Right.
Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hand me that little package.
Oh, this one?
Yeah, that's it.
What's in it?
You'll see. There.
A trumpet. A toy trumpet.
Yep, and I never took a lesson, but I think I can manage. Listen to this.
Oh, Peter, it's beautiful.
The curtain falls on Act 3 of It Happened One Night, starring the 9XM Players. Before we say goodnight, let us listen in on Dot and Archie. They're going to be married in June. And now?
Good night, Archie. You really must go now.
Oh, gosh, Dot. Not just yet. Oh, it's wonderful to hold you so close. You're awfully nice to look at, you know?
Oh, but Archie, you must go.
All right. I suppose I must. Gee, darling, I could look at you like this forever.
Dot's one of those clever girls who uses Lux toilet soap regularly and has skin that passes the love test. When a man's in love, his eyes look close and searchingly. Only skin that's soft and smooth can pass the test. If you have one romance and want to hold it, take the Screen Star's advice. They tell you it's foolish to risk cosmetic skin dullness, tiny blemishes, enlarged pores. Use cosmetics all you like. Lux Toilet Soap's active lather removes stale cosmetics thoroughly. Guards against choked pores. Use this nice white soap regularly. Have you discovered what this soap that 9 out of 10 screen stars use can do for you? And now, here's Mr. DeMille.
Ladies and gentlemen, before I say goodnight for the Lux Radio Theater, I want to remind you of something we started 2 weeks ago when we announced our remarkable teaspoon offer. We have literally been swamped with requests, but we want to make good on our promise of giving everybody a chance to get in on our souvenir offer. A half dozen extremely beautiful and serviceable full-sized original Rogers Silver Plate teaspoons, which, as you know, are guaranteed by the International Silver Company, the world's largest silversmith. To show you the kind of receptions the spoons are meeting with the country over, I want you to hear a few excerpts from typical letters that women are writing to us. Miss Mary Toomey of Brooklyn, New York writes,
"They're very beautiful. I liked the first 6 so well, I sent for another and showed them to my friends, who also sent for some."
And Mrs. Alder Nord of Fort Worth, Texas, says,
"I received my spoons today, and I wanted to tell you how pleased I am with them. They're perfectly lovely and worth so much more than I paid for them."
Truly, these spoons are very attractive and such a bargain. They have an extra heavy deposit of pure silver reinforced plate on the part most often exposed to wear. And they are guaranteed in writing by the International Silver Company, the world's largest silversmith. It is hard not to understand the enthusiasm of those who received these spoons when you realize that you pay only a little over 8 cents apiece for them. But of course, they are available only in half dozen lots. 6 spoons for 50 cents. Now, here's the easy way to get these spoons. Simply send the top from a large package of Lux. Print your name and address clearly on a piece of paper. Wrap 50 cents in coin in the paper. Don't send stamps. And mail it to Lux, Meriden, Connecticut. The offer is good only in the United States.
Oh, Mr. DeMille, would you mind repeating the address, please?
Not at all, Miss Creighton. Simply send it to Lux, Meriden, Connecticut.
Oh, I have it now. Lux, Meriden. M-E-R-I-D-E-N. Meriden, Connecticut.
I am sure that you will agree, once you have seen the spoons, that never before have you gotten a bargain like this. Of course, there is no advertising on the spoons in any way whatever. And they are not to be confused with inexpensive, ordinary spoons. They are the kind of spoons that you buy carefully and thoughtfully. The sort of spoons that you intend to keep for a lifetime. And when you gaze on your lovely table set with these handsome spoons, you'll be reminded of the glamour of the silver screen. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying, "Good night from Hollywood."
Our cast, and It Happened One Night, included Christopher Simmons as Peter Warren, Liz Angle as Ellie Andrews, featuring George Gonzalez as Oscar Shapley, Coleman as Mr. Andrews, Michelle Gerard Good as Midge, Edward Marion as Cecil B. DeMille, Lisa Spearer as Dot, Liz Stadelman Scanlon as the mother, and Russell Wolfe as one of the bus drivers and the detective, with Kathy Berenger, Rachel Owens, and Mark Staniszewski. Direction for the 9XM players was provided by Michelle Gerard Good. Foley arts were provided by Brittany DeAnda and Selma Alley. Music for the Lux Radio Theater has been performed by Julie Page, Victoria Gorbich, and Vladislav Gorbich, the Cat Trio. Special thanks to Joe Hartke, Sarah Marty, Angie Whittakin, Jeffrey Potter, Tim Sowers, Beth Rossette, Chris Barker, and Huck Johnston, as well as Steve Schrader of the Overture Center, Children's Theater of Madison, Kathy Wolf, Carol Marshall, Sonny G., Gabriel Petriani, and Paul Freilich. And special thanks to Best Cleaners of Madison, Madison's Green Cleaners, for helping to make our show possible. Your announcer has been Norman Gilliland, and waiting in the wings is Bob Bailey, and Let George Do It, when old-time radio drama continues right after this on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.